Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to this presentation for the SREC-based financing program. During the presentation, all phone lines will be in a listen-only mode. At the end of the presentation, we will announce the opportunity for listeners to ask questions. Instructions will be given at that time. This presentation will be recorded, and an archived playback will be made available. The Q&A portion of this call will be posted as FAQs on the website, but will not be recorded. If you need any assistance during this call, please press star zero and someone will help you. At this time, I will turn the call over to Mr. Benjamin Chee of NERA Economic Consulting. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to this bidder information call for the SREC-based financing program for the three New Jersey Electric Distribution Companies, or EDCs. The three EDCs are, as found on that presentation slide cover, Atlantic City Electric, Jersey Central Power and Light, and Rockland Electric Company. I have with me here on the phone as well Dr. Chantal Lacasse, who is also with NERA. NERA is the solicitation manager for this SREC-based financing program, and we will be administering the request for proposal or the RFP process. Also on the phone here, we have a couple of representatives from the EDCs. If you have questions that are specific to the EDCs at the end of this presentation, these representatives will also be available to answer them. A couple of introductions very quickly. Joining us today, we have Mr. Josh Catterett from, Mr. Rob Ruter from Atlantic City Electric, Mr. Tom Donadio from Jersey Central Power and Light, and Mr. Scott Markwood from Rockland Electric Company. So before I dive in into the presentation, I trust that everyone has received a copy of today's presentation. If not, you can find a copy of this presentation on our website. The website address is www.njedcsolar.com. NJ for New Jersey, EDC for the Electric Distribution Company, and solar for this SREC-based financing program. I'll start with slide two of our presentation today with a couple of reminders as well as one disclaimer. So first, this program came out of a settlement before the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities. A copy of the governing documents for this program can be found on the documents page of our website. We list three of the documents here on slide two of the presentation. They are the request for proposal document, or the RFP rules. That is the main document that will describe for you the conduct of this entire procurement process. There is a standard contract that is used in this RFP. That's the second document that you will find here, known as the SREC Purchase and Sale Agreement, or SREC PSA. This contract is appended to the RFP document as Appendix 1 that you'll find on the website. Also, as part of the governing documents in this program, we have the orders as well as the decisions from the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities that are related to this program. These are, again, also part of the documents that are governing this program and can be found on our website as well. And now for the disclaimer that you'll find on the top of slide two. Any statements in this presentation that describe or refer to documents and agreements are summaries only and will be qualified in their entirety by our reference to such documents and agreements. Over on to slide three, we have the agenda for today. What we'd like to accomplish today will be done in two parts in this presentation. The first part, the first half of this presentation, will be covered by me. I will go over the main features of the program. We'll talk about the planned quantities for this particular solicitation, also known as the June 2011 solicitation, or round seven. We will go over some of the program changes that have been implemented since the last solicitation that are still applicable in this round seven. that has changed from the original processes written in the stipulations. We will also go into some of the practical aspects of the program to tell you what the eligibility requirements are and explain to you that each solicitation is conducted in 3 steps and what the steps are. And I will turn over at that time to Chantal for the second half of this presentation. She will go over, in the second part of this presentation, the bid evaluation and the post-bid process. We will discuss the results from prior solicitations, including the one that has just passed, and we'll have a time for Q&A at the end of this presentation. Over on to slide 4, here we provide you a very high-level overview of this program. So perhaps most importantly, I will flag this for you first, which is the SREC-based financing program is not a loan program. This program is for the purchase of SRECs and for the purchase of SRECs only. The EDCs will not purchase the energy or the capacity that come out of your solar projects. What this program is envisioned to do is for the utilities to enter into these long-term contracts between 10 and 15 years to buy all the SRECs from your project, and hopefully with that assurance of the long-term agreement as well as the price that will come out of that project, that will give you sufficient assurance about the price and the revenue streams that can let you then go out to secure financing elsewhere. As I mentioned earlier, this program is consistent with a settlement that is before the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities. There is a stipulation that is provided on our website. The stipulation to this program provides the details of that settlement and the details of this program. Here we list for you 3 of the features that you will find in that stipulation on this slide 4. The first is this program is envisioned to contract long-term agreements between the EDCs and bidders, long-term meaning anywhere between 10 and 15 years that bidders will name. The second is that this program is envisioned to run for 3 years and with at least 6, if not 9 solicitations in all, 2 solicitations in each year at a minimum and a 3rd solicitation if necessary to procure any shortfall. We have conducted up to this point in time 6 solicitations, 6 rounds. For the past 2 years, we're entering into a new year in this RPS year 2012, which runs from June of 2011 through May of 2012. The first solicitation of this year starts in this June with the expression of interest due to us, as I'll explain on June 6. And another feature of the stipulation is that at a minimum, we do envision that projects that are submitted for consideration would have at least passed an initial application process with one of 2 state programs. And one of the 2 state programs that we are after are either an approval with the REIP, the Renewable Energy Incentive Program, or the SRP, the SREC Registration Program. Our understanding is as of the beginning of this year, calendar year 2011, the NJCEP has discontinued the REIP and only the SRP is being considered. And I will talk a little bit about some of these requirements on the REIP and SRP in the later on in this presentation. Moving on to slide 5, here we talk about changes to the program that has been implemented since the program has started 2 years ago. So the program that we are administering right now for round 7 reflects changes from a December 9, 2010 stipulation that was approved by the board, as well as administrative changes, and I'll highlight them for you at the bottom of this slide, that were implemented following stakeholder meetings that were conducted by BPU staff. While we use the term recent changes to the program, I'd just like to make one quick disclaimer here, is that these changes were implemented first in the prior round, in round 6, but we're highlighting them for you here to let you know that those changes made are still applicable to this round, round 7 as well. So some of the changes include, first, there was a change in eligibility size of a project, and the change went from 500 kilowatts to 2 megawatts. All projects that are submitted for consideration for this SREC-based financing program must be at or below 2 megawatts, and that's a DC rating that we are after. There are also some administrative changes that were implemented, including a simplification of the submission of one of the documents known as the Host Acknowledgement and Certification Document, or Appendix C, to the PSA, where now the requirement is for bidders to submit to us a PDF copy during the qualification process and to provide only the signed originals to the EDCs upon contract execution. Another administrative change is where the EDCs will now provide, for the convenience of bidders, a draft SREC PSA, or the contract that you will enter into with the utility, in advance of the board order being final and no longer subject to appeal. One other change that I'll highlight for you is that since the last solicitation, the program rules have changed to allow for the constructed project size, the as-built size, to be different from the size that you put in as the size of the project in your proposal, but by no more than 10% of what you have provided in your proposal. We're on to slide 6. As I've mentioned a couple of times now, this program is envisioned to run for 3 years. The program targets to procure over 64 megawatts over this 3 years and 9 rounds of solicitations. And the allocation between the EDCs are roughly to allocate 19 megawatts of projects for projects that are in Atlantic City Electric's service territory, for 42 megawatts of projects that are in JCP&L's territory, and roughly about 3.8 megawatts of projects in RECO's service territory. The planned solicitation quantities are provided right at the middle of slide 6 in that table. This reflects what we are going out for this round 7. For A service territory, we are looking to procure about 3.5 megawatts. For Jersey Central Power and Light, we are going out for about 5.4 megawatts. And for Rockland Electric Company, about 2.3 megawatts of planned quantities. And the solicitation for this round would include some of the shortfall from RPS year 2011 that were not fully procured. It will roll over into some into this solicitation, and some would be into the next solicitation in round 8. As a general note, in any solicitation, planned quantities may or may not be awarded in a given solicitation based on an assessment of the competitiveness of pricing. So, for example, if your price is not competitive, your project may not receive an award. We're on to slide 7. We'll start off on this slide with a quick word on the contract. There is a standard contract that is used under this RFP and a procurement process. The standard contract is known as the SREC Purchase and Sale Agreement, or also known as the SREC PSA. As a condition for participating in this procurement, you must agree to the terms of this SREC PSA. The SREC PSA is a document that can be found on our website, and as I mentioned earlier, it's also one of the governing documents in this program. On the third bullet that you'll find on this slide, the SREC PSA provides the governing terms that will govern the relationship between the EDC and the supplier throughout the term of the agreement. Here we list for you three elements of the SREC PSA. The first is that under the SREC PSA, you must agree to an inspection by a verification agent from the Office of Clean Energy. And this inspection will be paid for by the project. Second, you must agree to the installation of a utility meter to measure the gross output of the project, and this will be paid for by the project as well. And the third element here that you'll find, assuming that your project is recommended for an award and the Board of Public Utilities has approved your project for an award, within 14 days of the BPU's approval for an award, you must provide a cash deposit. The cash deposit is a refundable cash deposit. In general, you get this cash deposit back unless the project does not commence operation or produce SREC within the commencement date. You may also lose your cash deposit if you have won a contract but subsequently do not enter into the SREC PSA for that project that has been approved for an award. And over to the last bullet on this slide 7, we do envision that you will participate in GATS, PJM Generation Attributes Tracking System. And under the contract, once the SRECs have been created and accepted and tracked through PJM GATS, the projects will be paid for the SRECs on a quarterly basis. Again, the contracts are for these 10 to 15 years duration, and the price is a price that you will name on your bid sheet or your pricing proposal. I will go through that with you later on. And the price will be the price that is constant over the life of this agreement. Over on to slide 8, here we talk about some of the eligibility requirements. We'll go through some of the requirements on the positive side first, on the left side of this slide 8. First, it does not matter whether the project is a residential project or a commercial project, as long as the project must reside in one of the three electric distribution company service territory. Again, it must reside in Atlantic City Electric Service Territory, must reside in, or it must reside in Jersey Central's Power and Lights Service Territory or Rockland Electric Company's Service Territory. It doesn't matter whether it is the customer or the developer that submits the proposal. Either one can submit the proposal. The proposal, however, must be signed by most of the requirements will have to be signed by the owner of the project. There is a size requirement in this program As mentioned earlier, the size has changed since the last solicitation to have increased to 2 megawatts. All projects must be at most 2 megawatts or less to be eligible in this program. And we are after the DC rating when we talk about the eligible size here. And over on the ineligible side, the very first bullet that you find there, if you're submitting a proposal for a portion of a project that is less than 2 megawatts, but the entire project itself in aggregate exceeds 2 megawatts, then your project is no longer eligible. We'll move back to the eligible side. On the very last bullet that you find, that gets at the question of at what stage must your project be in order to participate in our program. There are 2 requirements here, or criteria here, that we are after. The first criteria is that the project itself must have at least cleared an initial application process with one of the 2 state programs, either the SRP or the REIP. And the second criteria is that it must not be so developed to the point where you have requested final interconnection for the project before the Board of Public Utilities have granted approval of the bid results for that solicitation. And some of the points on the ineligible side: once you get interconnected, your project must not be interconnected at transmission voltages. At the bottom of slide 8 on the ineligible side, some of the requirements here deal with the standard contract, the SREC PSA. So if you do not agree to the terms of the SREC PSA, your project will not be eligible, including if you do not agree to the net metering arrangements with the EDC or agree to the installation of the SREC meter at the project's expense, which are part of the terms of the SREC PSA, your project will not be eligible under this program. And one last point on the ineligible side is if your project has received or will receive a rebate from the CORE program, the Customer On-Site Renewable Energy Program, that is in force between 2001 and 2008, your project will also not be eligible under this program. Move on to slide 9. Here we talk a little bit about the state programs. As I've mentioned, as a eligibility requirement, your project must have cleared one of 2 state programs, either the Renewable Energy Incentive Program, REIP, or the SRP, the SREC Registration Program. So one quick word here and a disclaimer, or a clarification rather, is that our understanding is that as of the beginning of this year, of this calendar year, only the SRP is being considered by NJCEP, the New Jersey Clean Energy Program. So the clarification is this: it does not mean that if you have an application or a project that has been approved under the legacy REIP that your project is not eligible. That is not what we are saying. What we are saying is that if you have a project that has been approved under the legacy REIP or under the SRP, your projects are eligible. And our current understanding is, from the New Jersey Clean Energy Program's perspective, only the SRP are being considered for processing on their end. And it is also our understanding that in order to get your NJCEP application number, which is what they will provide to you, what the NJCEP will provide to you upon completion of one of these state programs, is that you must provide to them a complete SRP packet if you have not already received an approval or an NJCEP number. You need to provide that to them by May 20th by 4 p.m. And in order for the NJCEP to identify your SRP application for expedited processing so that you will receive your SRP number in time for our solicitation, they require that you do one of two things that are listed here on slide 9. The first is, if your project is a residential project that is below or at 10 kilowatts, or a non-profit or public project that is up to 50 kilowatts, that you include with your SRP application what is known as an ESFI Notice of Intent to Participate form. And if your project is a larger project, meaning any residential projects that are above 10 kilowatts, any non-profit or public projects above 50 kilowatts, that you include with them, with your SRP to the NJCEP, a cover letter indicating your intent to participate in this SREC-based financing program. Again, this is so that the NJCEP can identify your SRP application and put it for expedited processing in order that for you to receive your NJCEP application number in time to participate in our program in early June. We'll talk a little bit about the RFP website. We are on to slide 10. Again, the website address is www.njedcsolar.com. The RFP website, for which I provided a screenshot here on slide 10, is the central source of information for this SREC-based financing program. So do not go anywhere else to look for information pertaining to this program. This website will provide all the documents necessary for you to qualify your project and for you to submit your pricing proposal and your expression of interest. And I'll go through the steps in the next few slides. I want to highlight two things for you on this slide 10. The first is that we have provided a program guide for you. You'll find that there on the documents page. You will see on this screenshot on the top navigation bar a link known as the documents link. Click on that. It will lead you to the documents page. The first link that you'll find is the program guide that is dated May 2nd. We just want to note for you that the program guide is a 4-page overview guide of this program, and it will list out for you the steps in summary. If you do not have much time to read up on the documents, this 4-page document will get you started. The second thing to flag for you is perhaps the most important thing you can do under this program is to register yourself to be on the distribution list for this SREC-based financing program. You can do that by clicking on the Contact Us link on the top navigation bar. You should see a page that will give you the link register to be on the distribution list. If you have only one thing to do, time to do one thing today, I think that is perhaps the most useful thing that you can do to register yourself to be on the distribution list to receive email alerts regarding this program. Starting on slide 11, I'm going to shift gears and talk about the practical aspects of this program. As I've mentioned, each solicitation is in 3 steps. I list for you the 3 steps here as well as the relevant dates on this slide 11. The first is the submission of what we call an expression of interest form. The expression of interest is due to us by noon on Monday, June 6. Step 2 is for you to provide us your actual bids, or what we call a pricing proposal. That is due to us at noon on Friday, June 10. And at the same time, on that same deadline that is provided noon on June the 10th, you will also be required to submit to us your qualification package for your project. Going into the details starting on slide 12, here we'll take a look at the expression of interest, or what we call the EOI, that's step one. You can find this EOI form on the documents page of the website. The EOI requirement is fairly basic. As I've mentioned earlier, in order to participate in our program, your project must have cleared the initial application process in one of the two state programs, the REIP or the SREC registration program. In your EOI, we will ask that you provide us the NJCEP application number that is associated with the completion of the initial application process under one of the two state programs. In the EOI, we will also require that you provide us contact information for a point of contact as well as an alternate point of contact. This would be an individual that can answer questions regarding your pricing proposal if needed. One expression of interest is to be submitted for each project. That means that if you're a developer that owns multiple projects, we need you to submit one expression of interest for each one of your multiple projects. The deadline again is noon on Monday, June 6. We do encourage that you submit your expression of interest to us as early as you can, even if it is incomplete. For example, if you have not yet received your NJCEP application number for your SRP and you're still waiting on that, you can still submit your expression of interest. Submitting your expression of interest early to us has some advantages. First, it provides you some additional time to resolve any issues related to your EOI, and will also help us identify you as a bidder and help us focus our efforts to assist you with the remainder of this program requirements. And over on to slide 13. So slide 12 talks about what you will need to provide on your EOI, mainly the NJCEP application number and the contact information for a point of contact, and as well as an alternate point of contact if you like. On this slide 13, we tell you about the information that you'll receive back from us once we receive your complete expression of interest. So we'll return back to you three items. The first, we'll return back to you a customized bid form for submission of your bids for your pricing proposal. The second, we will provide you, along with that customized bid form, instructions for the submission of your pricing proposal. And third, also provide to you a password that you will need in order to submit your pricing proposal. I will flag two things for you here, mainly for those who are planning on submitting multiple projects. First, you will be only given one set of instructions and one password for the submission of your pricing proposals to the file transfer system, which I will explain on the next slide. But you will be provided one bid form for each of your projects. So again, for those that are participating as a developer with multiple projects, you'll be given one set of instructions and one password, but you'll be given one bid form for each of your projects. Again, the deadline for the expression of interest is by noon on Monday, June 6. And if your EOI that is received is deficient, as I said, if it's missing an NJCEP application number, you will have up to the cure deficiency deadline to complete your expression of interest. So that's one advantage. And the cure deficiency deadline is 5 p.m. on June 9. And again, we stress the importance of this is because if you miss the expression of interest deadline on June 6 by noon, you will not be able to proceed further along in this process, and it is very costly, and I will not be able to help you even if I want to at that point in time. So again, the advice is to submit your expression of interest to us as early as you can, even if it is incomplete at this point in time. We'll go on to slide 14. We talk about step 2, how you submit your pricing proposal or your bids. Two very quick takeaways for you on this slide. The first is that bids are submitted using the customized bid form provided to you when your expression of interest is processed and complete. The second is bid forms must be submitted using the file transfer system. And we list here for you three steps on this slide. Step one is for you to complete your bid form. The bid form that is provided to you via email should already have your NJCP number locked in for you. You will need to fill in the price that you would like to be paid over the term of the agreement. This is a constant price, again, for each SREC that your project will generate. You will need to fill in the duration, what we call the duration or the length of the contract, and this needs to be between 10 and 15 years. And you also need to fill in the size of your project, and this must be rounded to the third decimal place and must match the size of the project as approved by NJCEP in their approval letter to you under the REIP or the SRP. And in the bid form, you will also need to indicate to us which EDC territory your project resides in, either Atlantic City Electric, Jersey Central Power and Light, or Rockland Electric Company. Step two is for you to submit your bid form using the file transfer system. A screenshot of that system, the file transfer system, is provided to you here on this slide 14. To access the file transfer system, you will use your email address as provided to us in your expression of interest. That's your username and a password that we will provide to you in your EOI complete notice. That instructions will be provided to you with your bid forms. So on the file transfer system, the way it works is very much like a web-based email system. All you do is to access the file transfer system using the login credentials and attach the bid form and send it to us as you would using a web-based email system. This platform is very user-friendly and very intuitive. Once you have a complete expression of interest, you'll be able to access the file transfer system. And step three, this is to receive confirmation from us that we have received your bids. The file transfer system itself will provide you an automated confirmation, but we also will confirm receipt of your bids by phone, and we will explain this on the next slide, slide 15. So how the process works is that once we receive your bids, we will evaluate to see if your bids are compliant with the program requirements or not. We will then confirm receipt with you by phone to let you know that your bids are compliant and complete. If your bids are not compliant or complete at that point, you will be able to resubmit your bids as long as it reaches us before the noon deadline on June 10. This phone call usually takes place before the close of business if your bids are submitted during business hours before the deadline of June 10. If your bids are submitted by the deadline or on June 10 itself, we will confirm receipt within 30 minutes of when we receive your bids. So the takeaway here is that we strongly encourage bidders to submit your pricing proposal to us early so that you have sufficient time to cure any deficiencies if necessary. Again, it's a noon deadline on June 10. That's a hard deadline. Once you miss that deadline, you will not be able to submit a bid for this solicitation. And then finally, we'll talk about steps. Step three is for you to submit your qualification packet. In the next three slides, we'll talk about this step three. This is by far perhaps the most time-consuming step of the three steps. I'll go over briefly here what is required, how you submit the requirements to us, and when they are due. So for the qualification requirements, we'll ask for four items for you, which I will highlight for you on this slide. First is that you need to provide us what we call a project proposal summary sheet. This is the second item that you'll find on this slide 16. In the first sub-bullet, the project proposal summary sheet, also known as Appendix 4 to the RFP rules. This is submitted electronically to us by email. The second item that we'll require from you is what we call Appendix 5, or the Certification and Checklist for Qualification. That's the first bullet that you'll find on slide 16, and we need three originals of this from you that are signed by both the owner of the project as well as the customer that is on record for the project. There is a third item that is applicable to some but not all bidders, and that is what we call the host acknowledgement and certification form. That is known as Appendix C to the SREC PSA. This used to be something that we require pre-originals signed by the host for, but at this point, we have implemented since the last solicitation an administrative change to allow for only a PDF signed copy of this SREC PSA to be emailed to us. That's found in the second bullet on this slide 16, the second sub-bullet, Appendix C to the SREC PSA. You will be required to provide this to us only if the owner of the project that has titleship of the SRECs is different from the host. The host is known as the owner of the premise on which the project resides. If the owner of the SRECs or the project is different from the host, you will need to provide us a host acknowledgement form. And again, you will only be required to provide this to us during the qualification stage, a signed PDF copy. We will, however, note for you that you will need to provide three signed originals by the time of contract execution, should your project be approved for an award. A few other things to note for you as well. The fourth item that will be required as part of your qualification packet that is found on the last bullet on this slide is that we'll need one copy of the materials that you have submitted in the initial application process in one of the two state programs, the REIP or the SRP, including the application materials and the letter of acceptance that you received from NJCEP. That needs to be part of the qualification packet that is overnighted to us. One word on the Appendix C as a courtesy to bidders as well. Upon your request, we will prepare the Appendix C or the host acknowledgement for you if your project proposal summary sheet and the request to prepare this form for you is submitted by the expression of interest deadline of noon at June 6. Over on to slide 17. We're providing a couple of clarifications here. first is that you must agree to the terms of the program and the SREC PSA without modifications through certifications in your qualification packet. And there will be a couple of certifications that are provided in Appendix 5. And in Section 3, you will find as a condition to participate in the program some of the certifications listed here at the bottom of slide 17, including an inspection of the project at the project's expense, the installation of an SREC meter, which will measure the output of the project in accordance with the EDC's standards and any applicable regulatory standards. And to be more precise, there is language in the documents that will ask you to agree about the location of this SREC meter, that it must be located in an enclosure adjacent to the existing EDC meter. You must agree to participate, to your participation in PJM GATS, as well as to the net metering arrangements with the EDCs. So these are not new requirements. These are existing requirements that has been applicable since the inception of this program. We're just making it clear here on this slide 17. Over on to slide 18. In general, bidders will have opportunities to clarify or to submit additional information to cure any deficiencies in your qualification packet. So you know how the process works. Once your qualification packets are received, as well as your pricing proposals are received, your qualification packets will not be reviewed or assessed until after the bids have been ranked on the bid date, which is on June 10. And at that point, we will issue you a notice to either tell you once we have received and reviewed your qualification packet and once after the bids have been ranked, we'll issue you either a deficiency notice or a complete notice. If you receive one of these deficiency notices from us, you always have the opportunity to respond and provide cures to those deficiencies, but you must do so before the cure deficiency deadline for the qualification packet. And that is by 4 p.m. on June 17. If you do not or are not able to cure your deficiencies by then your entire pricing proposal as well as qualification packet will not be considered for this solicitation. And at this point in time, I will turn this time over to Dr. Chantal Lacasse, who will review the evaluation process and discuss the results from the prior rounds. Chantal?
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. So I'll pick up where Mr. Chi left off in describing the proposal submission process and take it from there in chronological order as to what happens with the ranking of the bids and the post-bid process. So I'm starting on slide 19 regarding the ranking of the bids. Once the bids are received on June 10th, we are going to be ranking those pricing proposals on an anonymous basis. And really this ranking is performed with respect to a single metric, which is the net present value of payments under the standard contract, the SREC PSA, for one annually delivered SREC. And the projects will be selected on the basis of the lowest NPV net present value, and that will be up to either the point where the quantity is filled, the planned quantity is filled, or if the planned quantity is not filled, up to the point where the pricing for the projects are no longer competitive. There are other aspects to the ranking of bids. In particular, there's a developer cap, and I'll speak about that a little more on the next slide. This developer cap does not apply to all the EDCs. It applies only to Jersey Central and to Atlantic City Electric. It's a developer cap of 20%, and it's applied once the projects are ranked. And as I said, I'll give a little more detail on that in a second. There's also an affiliate cap, which is 50% for RICO, and it's also applied to the ranked project. RICO does not have a developer cap. So to go right into the details on this developer cap, the first thing to note is that the board has clarified that that developer cap is based upon the planned quantities. The developer cap ensures that there's no one entity or no combination of affiliated entities under the same majority ownership that can get more than 20% of an EDC's long-term contracts. And again, EDC here being either JCP&L or ACE, no more than 20% in any given year. So the caps for this upcoming RPS reporting year, 2012, so we're in the first solicitation in that particular reporting year, are going to be roughly 20% of the planned quantities, so approximately 2.2 megawatts for JCP&L and 1.4 megawatt for ACE. However, when applying the developer cap to a particular developer, there is some margin here. It's not exactly 20% in the sense that the developer can exceed that cap, but by no more than either 150 kilowatts or 30% of the last accepted proposal, whichever is larger. One important thing to note is that the developer cap is applied in the evaluation of bid to each developer. It does not matter whether the developer itself is submitting the proposal. If it's, for example, a customer submitting a proposal, the customer is asked to name the developer so that the solicitation manager can, in the evaluation of bid, be fair to all proponents and apply developer caps evenly, regardless of whether the developer itself or the customer or another party is presenting the proposal to the program. On the next slide, 21, you have a little bit of an example. So I've talked about the fact that the projects are ranked and ultimately selected based on the lowest net present value of one annually delivered SREC. And there is an example here, and also an example in the RFP rules posted to the website of how this is calculated. Basically, the net present value is obtained by multiplying the price per SREC. So this is the price that you would be submitting in your pricing proposal having two main elements, the price per SREC and the term. So the net present value is calculated by multiplying this price per SREC times a factor, and that factor is specific to the term in your pricing proposal, so to the term during which you would receive that price per SREC under the standard contract. In the table that you have on slide 21, these are the factors for JCP&L, and you can see looking at the first line of the table that for a term of 10 years, so 10 years in duration for the SREC PSA, the factor is 7.0660, and that the factors increase as you go down the table. So as the term increases, the factor that is used to calculate the net present value is increasing as well. So if you did multiply the $375 on that first row by the factor 7.0660, you would obtain, subject to rounding, this net present value of $2,650. So for each price that you provide in your proposal along with the term as a given factor are the factors for JCP&L. There are also factors for Atlantic City Electric and for Rockland Electric. Those are given in the RFP rules. So in taking the price and the factor corresponding to the term, an NPV is calculated for each of the projects, and then the projects are ranked. In this particular example, the project that is ranked first, so that has the lowest NPV, is the last row in the table at $285 for a term of 15 years. Given that the factors do increase with the length of the contract, with the term or duration that you put in your pricing proposal, to be ranked first or to be ranked ahead of a shorter term contract, it requires that the price that's submitted be lower. As in this example here, the project that has a price of or a duration of 15 years does come out ahead of the project that has a term of 14 years, but that's because the price is lower. So even though it's multiplied by a higher factor of 9.1832 rather than a lower factor of 8.8141, the fact that the price is lower gives a lower NPV and a higher ranked project. So as I said, the factors for the other EDCs are provided in the RFP rules. So depending on the EDC territory to which you're going to be presenting a proposal, you can know exactly which factor would apply for each of the terms. So that's the essence of what we wanted to cover in terms of the evaluation of bid. Mr. Chi has covered the fact that once the bids are ranked, the qualification materials for bidders will be evaluated. And ultimately, to be part of the proposals or projects that could be presented or recommended to the board for an award, it has to be not only that you provide the EOI in time by the June 6th deadline, that you provide a pricing proposal with both a competitive price and term in the pricing proposal for your project, but it must also be that you complete all of the requirements of the qualification materials, and that if we do have requests for additional information, if there are deficiencies in those qualification materials, that you are able to provide that to us by the CURE deficiency deadline that was provided on slide 18. So once this ranking of bids are made and the evaluation is complete, there is a process, a post-bid process that does begin, and the solicitation manager presents its preliminary recommendation to the parties who are the EDCs, the electric distribution companies, rate counsel, as well as staff from the Board of Public Utilities. Presenting those preliminary recommendations are for the purpose of gathering input from the parties on those preliminary recommendations. And considering that input, the solicitation manager then prepares a confidential report for the Board of Public Utilities that will contain its final recommendation. And those final recommendations can include not just recommended awards, but an assessment of the competitiveness of the process, the quantity, the planned quantity for future solicitation, as well as any special treatment that the solicitation manager would recommend for the small project segment, given that there is an aspirational goal with respect to the small project segment in the program as approved by the board. Ultimately, it's the board that determines the final awards under the program. And once that determination is made, typically at an agenda meeting of the board, the solicitation manager will notify the bidders as well as announce the results. I'll go into a little more detail about what announcing the results means, but there is not any individual pricing in that announcement. Other things that occur in that post-bid process, and this is something that is a change to the program, an enhancement that was added as of the last solicitation, is that the EDC provides the owner of a successful project with a draft of the contract of the SREC PSA reasonably promptly after the board order. That strictly for your convenience, for the convenience of bidders, it has no legal effect until the SREC PSA is prepared in final form, and that doesn't occur until 45 days after the board order that would be approving the results. Second thing to note, that's really a post-bid process issue, and that's also an enhancement that was included for the first time in the last solicitation, is that there can be variations in size between the project as presented in the program in the proposal stage and the project as constructed in the final event. So there can be that variation in system size as long as it does not exceed 10%, as long as the system still meets all other requirements of the program, and as long as there's no change in segment, the segment being the small segment of 0 to 50 kilowatts and the large segment of above 50 kilowatts. So that's all the events that occur after the bids have been submitted. The schedule on the website, and I'll go over that in a second, provides some preliminary dates for these. Ultimately, the date depends on when the board is able to meet to consider the results of the solicitation. In the next two slides, so that's slides 23 and 24, we're presenting summary results from the rounds of bidding in the two previous years, so for the first six rounds of the program. We're following here the approved process by the board, in that what we are releasing as information are the number of bids that are received, the number of bids that received awards versus the number of rejected bids, as well as on the pricing side, we're releasing an average price as well as a low price. Now, in some of those rounds, there is a little more detail on the website in that there are also some results per segment, so that is thinking about just the small project segment, 0 to 50 kilowatts, as well as the larger segment, above 50 kilowatts. And also in some of the orders of the board, there are results that are released that are specific to the EDCs. So if you want more information, the source again is on our website. You can look under the board orders that are on the documents page, or you can also look in the announcements that we provide as solicitation manager after each solicitation. There has been growing interest in the program, as you can see from the results of the last round that had more bids than had been received previously, more awards, and also more rejected bids, given that the quantity that was available given the amount of quantity that was available at that time. Finally, I'd just like to close on slide 25 by a little bit of a reminder on some of the deadlines that we have provided to you in this presentation that are also on the calendar on the website. You have not just kind of a calendar for this upcoming solicitation, but there are also two additional solicitations planned for the year 2011, and we have provided a preliminary calendar for these on the documents page of our website. It's preliminary because ultimately the board decides the schedule of the solicitation, but we have a placeholder for a couple of additional dates later in the year. So just as a reminder then, the deadline for the expressions of interest is Monday, June 6th, and the pricing proposals and the deadline for qualification materials both due at noon on Friday, June 10th. Then there are some preliminary tentative dates for the post-bid process that I was just talking about. The presentation of preliminary recommendation by the solicitation manager to the party is tentatively set for June 20th. Then the parties would provide input back to the solicitation manager by June 28th for final recommendations to the board by the solicitation manager early July, July 7th, for an expected meeting at which the board would consider the results of the solicitation on July 25th. That would place the final execution of the contract, the SREC PSA, so not the draft that goes to bidders, but the final execution roughly 45 days after, which would make it roughly mid-September. So with this last slide, that concludes the presentation. Again, thanks so much for participating.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.